The book of Joshua, chapter 2. We're going to read one verse in chapter 2, and then we're going to go ahead and go to chapter 7, so you can be ready to turn there. The book of Joshua, chapter 2, and then we'll go to verse 7, or chapter 7 right after that. Joshua 2, verse 1 says this, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there." Now skip over to chapter 7, if you will. And we'll read just verse 1 and then skip down to verse number 16. Verse 1 says, "But the children committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Skip down to verse number 16, if you will. "So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, 'My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran in unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here in church tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to be behind this pulpit. And Lord, I do pray, Father, that you'd guide my words, guide my thoughts, please. Help me to focus on what you've given to me, Lord, and to give it in the way that you'd see fit. And so I pray that you'd fill my mouth. And Lord, help me to present that as you would see fit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the congregation would listen. Lord, that we would be tender and open to your words and the lessons that are contained therein. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible, which gives us direction and guidance, Lord. And I pray that we would learn something tonight, just a simple Bible lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We read about three people. One of them we read real quickly, and that was in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. We talked about Rahab. And the other two people we talked about were, of course, Achan and Joshua. Those are the two men we're going to focus on tonight. But I'm going to relate these three characters. And really, in the Bible, the cool thing about the Old Testament and the history books is there's a lot of characters in them, right? And there's a lot of kings and a lot of people who God used in a great way, and some not such in a great way, but all of them we can learn from, right? And so when I read about a character in the Bible, I do try to put myself in that character's position. And I try to relate their life to mine and think, okay, how am I like this person? And so tonight I'm going to take three people, and I'm going to show you that in this room tonight we have every type of person in here are like one of these three people. You're either Rahab, you're either a Joshua, or you're an Achan. And I'm going to apply that in just a bit, very specifically. But we're going to go through and kind of look at what these people were like. And we got to try to put ourselves in the Bible here and think of these folks as, you know what, they were real. They had day-to-day lives just like you did. They went to work like you do, and they live and breathe, and they ate. And so we need to put ourselves a little bit into the Bible story here and find out what the Lord would like us to know. And so I've titled the message tonight, "Are You Achan or Are You Joshin?" All right, and that's who we're going to talk about. Are you Achan or are you Joshin? All right? And some people are always aching, and some people are always just joshing around. Amen? But I don't know, you know? So you're one of those two people tonight, and I know which one you're supposed to be. Don't be joshing around with me during the service, amen? But are you Achan or are you Joshua? That's the message tonight. And so I don't know how Brother Klein's going to spell that on the web, you know? Are you Achan and are you Joshua? You know how to spell that Kentucky style, Brother Klein? I don't know, you know? That's what they, are you Achan or are you joshing is what they would say down there. So praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go back. Let's go real quickly back to Joshua 2. And the first person we're going to talk about tonight, and I told you at the beginning that everybody in this room is like one of these people. And we're going to kind of just see what Rahab was like here in just a second and see what the Lord did in her life. And then I'll tell you why that there's some people like that in this room. And we'll go through that in just a second. So let's look at Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to read this story real quick and see what we know about Rahab from here. Joshua 2 verse 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out two spies to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged her." There we go. The first thing we all associate with Rahab is that she was a harlot, okay? And that's usually what people would say, Rahab the harlot. And they're gonna emphasize that. Now let's keep reading. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took two men and hid them, and said, 'Thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had lain in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan under the fords. As soon as they were pursued after them, they were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men," and now notice these words. This is Rahab's most conversation. We really hear her talking. "She said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all they that have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way.'" And if you skip down to verse 23, "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that had befell him. And they said unto Joshua, 'Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.'" Now that's a little bit of a long story, and you've heard it before, but what I want you to notice about, I want you to think about Rahab and who she was. First of all, we know she was a harlot, okay? Second of all, we know she lived in a pagan city where they worshipped pagan gods. Okay, and so for her to be this in this position is not uncommon. Okay, and she specifically, you know, she's in Jericho, a wicked city. God wanted everything in that city destroyed, by the way, and that's what we're going to talk about here in a minute with Achan. Everything in that city was supposed to be gone. Nothing was supposed to be standing. It's a pagan city worshiping pagan gods. You know what? Who knows what type of life she had before this story? You know, we see her here as an adult woman. But what kind of childhood did she have? What was her family like? You know, when did she start this profession, by the way? And you know what? Pastor's gotten up here and he's told stories about missions and how he was in Mexico. And you know what? There's young ladies that taken advantage of it at a very young age. And it breaks my heart to hear those stories. But you know what? How do I know Rahab wasn't one of those? Hey, listen, folks, the pagan religions across the world have all kinds of rituals and all kinds of wickedness that are attached. And I don't know if this is how she got into this position. but you know what? I know that she's here, and she ends up saving these two spies. And you know, we don't know anything else about her, but you know what I do know? I know she heard of God and what he could do. And so did everybody else in the land, by the way. And she even said, we're afraid of you because of what God has done for everybody. But I like what she says. If you look there in verse 11, she said, because of you. So she said she's afraid, just like everybody else. But the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know what? Here's this lady in Jericho, a wicked pagan city. And everybody else is scared to death of what the Israelites are going to bring and the God that they serve. But here's this lady who, in a pagan city, living a wicked lifestyle, realizes that God is God. And you know what? She realizes that he's the one true God. And you know what? At this moment, I don't know if it was before the spies came. I don't know when. But I think at one of those moments, she basically got saved, if you will. Okay? She realized God is, this God that the Israelites serve isn't just somebody to be scared of. He is the only true God. Amen? And so here I find some good news about Rahab. She heard of what God can do, but she decided to trust him. And instead of fearing and despising God and the pagans, like the pagan people around her and everybody else in Jericho, she determined to find faith in a God whom she'd never heard and never seen in action, but she simply just heard about him and she believed he was the one true God. Hey, folks, are you seeing where Rahab's coming from? And are you seeing how some people in here might just be like that? How many of you believed in a God that you didn't know about before you were saved? Amen. You know what? There's many people who are saved out of a life just like she was. Wicked. It might not be the same sin. It might not be the same type of situation. But you know what? A wicked lifestyle. And all of a sudden, somebody comes along and shows them what Jesus is like. Somebody comes along and shows them who a true God is. And all of a sudden, all these pagan gods, they seem so fake, don't they? And they seem so little. And why are we scared of this one God? You know what? All my little gods that I'm little G gods that I'm worshiping, she says, forget them. I'm serving the true God. And you know what? She risked her life because of it, by the way. She harbored two enemies of Jericho, a wicked city, put them up and saved their lives. And because of that, notice what happens to her. She saves her whole family. And then if you study out the life of Rahab, we're not going to do it because I just want to mention her tonight. But she saves her whole family. She marries an Israelite man, by the way. I don't know if he's one of these two spies. I wouldn't have doubted it if he was. I read a commentary that said that maybe they thought it was. Nobody really knows. But you know what? She saved those two men. She saved their lives. And because of it and her faith in God, she's saved from death. And I like the fact that she saves her whole family. Can you imagine that? Just think about that situation for a minute. Here's this lady, and she invites her family into her house, and she says, hey, if you'll come into this house while those Israelites are marching, I don't know when they got there, but while those Israelites are marching around Jericho, she's inviting them over there and saying, hey, listen, come on into my house. If you come in here, you'll be saved. And you know what? I don't hear much more about her family. The only person we really know about is her. But I like to imagine it like this. If we get somebody in here whose life has changed and they're truly saved, you know what they start doing right away? They start bringing their family to church. Amen. And they start winning their family. And I like the fact that Rahab won her family over to the Lord. Okay, not just delivered them, not just saved them, but I believe in that act of deliverance, most likely they got saved. Most likely, they became part of Israel. Amen. And we know that because whose lineage is Rahab a part of? She's part of Jesus' line. And God puts her in a special spot. So here's this woman who comes from a horrible, wicked place, and all of a sudden she's raised to a spot that most other good Christians weren't part of. Most other Israelites weren't part of the line of Jesus. Okay, and so here we have Rahab. Not only does she save her family, she marries Israel. She becomes, if you will, a Christian. Okay, I know the Israelites, and I know we're not talking about that. But she becomes part of Israel, God's people. And here she's mentioned in the very line of King David. And the very line of Jesus. And so you know what I wanted to just say about Rahab tonight? And this is all I'll say. There might be some Rahabs out there that we need to go get and bring over here. That might be what happens this Sunday. I don't know if there's a little girl in junior church who the day she gets saved is the day her family, whole family could get saved. I don't know if there's a little girl or a little boy who comes to... You know what? That's why the people we bring on buses are important. That's why, you know what? Our 20 mission fields are important. We might feel like we're going into a Jericho sometimes. You know, you might feel like some days you're out soul winning and you knock on doors and everybody hates the Lord and blasphemes his name and all that kind of stuff. I was watching something the other day and it was one of those, and you know, preacher was talking about the blaspheming the Holy Ghost thing. I think he mentioned that a few weeks ago. And you know what? It just hurt my heart, because here's this mom, and I, you know, you're watching this video, and they were mocking Christians. You know, they were just, there was a young lady who had a devotional or somewhere, and these people, their whole goal in this video was just to mock Christians and to blaspheme them. And here's this mom holding a little baby, and she's making fun of the fact that, you know, that girl prays to Jesus and all that kind of stuff. You know, that hurts my heart, but that's the world some of these people live in, amen. Okay, that's the world this lady lived in. People blasphemed God, but you know what? She got saved anyway. And you know what? We can. We might have to march around their house a few times. We might have to go back a few Sundays in a row. We might have to wait until the walls fall down and everything collapses in their life. But we might be able to just to save one person, and that's worth it. Amen. And that one person might just save their whole family. And so I think it's worth it to go out knocking doors. And I think it's worth it to try to get as many people as we can here on Sunday. And so you know what? These are the people that God takes from situations where their life was a mess or they're living in sin, and he saves them. And they may not have started right, but they finished right. Now guess what? We have some people like that in this room. And I don't even think I know all of them. But you know what? I guarantee there's some of you who would say, Brother Young, I didn't start right. I didn't start sin. You know what? None of us started right, okay? We were all born sinners, amen? But I'm talking about a Christian home and a Christian family and a good environment. There's some people in here who saved out of some pretty wicked situations, some pretty rough situations, some pretty rough homes. And you know what? I would say you have the Rahab testimony, okay? Not the same way, but you were saved out of that. And so that's the one type of Christian that I find here in this story. The first one is a Rahab-type testimony, saved out of the world. You might have started wrong, but you can finish right. You're saved from a life of heartache and sin. But you know what? That's everybody, okay? We all are saved from sin, amen? But some people were saved. You know, that's not my testimony, okay? I grew up in a staff member's home, going to a good Christian church, okay? And so I don't have the Rahab testimony, if you will. But I just want to stand up and shout out that we need some more people. We as Christians need to go out and find those Rahabs, and we need to bring them into church, and they need to get saved, and they need to win their family to the Lord. And they're the best people that can win their family. You know what? If the spies had come in and told Rahab's family, you know, hey, if you go in here, you'll get saved, wouldn't have worked. Okay? The only person who could save her family was her. And you know, I like that story. I like that part. Now let's go on to the next person in our story, Joshua. If you look at verse chapter 7, just go over there, and we're going to talk about this story between Joshua and Achan. This is where it applies to every person in here. You see, we can all go from a Rahab situation, or maybe we were raised in a Christian home, but the point is, if you're in here tonight and you're saved, you have a choice. You can be like one of these two men. You can either be like Joshua, or you can be like Achan. Are you Joshua or are you Achan? Was kind of a joke, but it's true. You can either be one or you can be the other. We're going to see this story, and I'm just going to give you really simply a few differences. We're going to kind of just show you what Joshua's like and what Achan's like. Both of their lives were a little bit different, okay? And at the end, I'm going to give you just three little simple points that you can take home. And I want you to ask yourself, which one am I like? Which one am I being like in my life? Let's look at Joshua for a second. And in this story, we find Joshua as the leader. And we're not going to turn to a whole lot of passages about Joshua. You pretty much know the story. He was Moses' second-hand man, wasn't he? And he trained up. And if you think about Joshua, where did he start his youth at? Where was he born at? Where was he a youth? Well, it was Egypt, okay? He would have been born in Egypt. And he would have been raised there as what? A slave, okay? So young men, you know, who are working and raised in the youth group here in a Christian home, Christian church, he was too, except for he was working as a slave the whole time. Okay, maybe you feel like that right now with Brother Chad. He works here as a slave, and I don't know. Amen. And so, but anyway, he worked as a slave. That's where he got his strength. That's where he learned how to fight and how to be respectful. That's his upbringing. And what we find about Joshua is he was respected even as a young man. The first time we see Joshua was right after they come out of the Promised Land. They fight the Amalekites, and guess who Moses appoints to do that? Joshua. Okay, so already we see Joshua, he starts out, he's been raised in a Christian home, he's been raised in an Israelite home, I should say, he's been raised with parents who love the Lord, he's been raised in a community that loves the Lord, he's been mentored under Moses, he's right there, second in command, and so is this sounding familiar to most? This is what most people in Blessed Hope Baptist Church are doing right now. If you're a young person, you're being raised up in a Christian environment. Many of you go to a Christian school. If not, you go to a Christian home school. And so you're a lot like Joshua. You know, Joshua, he learned to be a good leader by first being a good follower, right? Think about him. and his life. He learned to follow Moses. And later he becomes a leader. We find him as a leader here in this story. But first he had to follow. And he did a good job at that. He fought for Moses and he fought for God. He was one of the only two spies. Think about him. He was one of the only two spies who brought a good report from Canaan. And because of that, what happens to him? He and Caleb, the two spies, they live through that 40 years in the wilderness. And they're the only two of that generation that do that. And you know what? God uses him in a great way because of that. And everybody else his age died out. Wouldn't that be rough around here, boys? What if you're the only two? What if you're the only two graduates to do right from Blessed Hope Baptist School? You know what would happen to those other? You know, there's a lot of people who live 40 years. You know, they don't die young, but their life is a wandering in the desert, if you will. Don't let your life be a wandering in the desert. I shouldn't let my life be a wandering in the desert. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. Bring the good report, and the Lord can bless me, and I can go on with what he wants me to do. So anyway, here we find him. He lives. He goes through that 40 years. He survives the doubting generation because of this. Later, he's chosen to become a leader. Pastor just talked about the doubting generation, didn't he? The rebellious. You remember that line? He had four people here. And he said, hey, listen, there is a generation that just looks at the front and says, I don't want to do that. Joshua wasn't one of those people. Neither was Caleb. And so I'd like to be a Joshua. He's consistently, if you read the story of Joshua, he's consistently going before God asking for help. Whenever Joshua came up with a problem, except for a few times, there was some times, if you remember the Gibeonites, remember their story? They come and they trick Joshua into an alliance, but he didn't ask the Lord. He made a decision, and you know what? He regretted it, didn't he? But you know what? We find Joshua consistently, he asked the Lord for help. And so he's a good pattern to follow. He's the conquering hero who God used in a great way to lead his people through Canaan. He's the guy who conquers Jericho. He's the guy who follows the Lord. He from what I can tell, he obeys the Lord and everything he's supposed to. And in the end, if you read the end of the life of Joshua, he settles for a very small portion. You remember Caleb, he's the one who said, I want that mountain. Joshua also, he settled for, you know, he did a lot of things for the Lord, and then he was satisfied with what the Lord gave him. You know, he didn't need great power and great lands and great things. He's just like many young people here in our church. He has the same potential. He has the proper training. He has the right type of leaders. He knows about the Lord God, and he's encouraged to follow him. But you know what? Joshua didn't just wake up that way. Okay, Joshua didn't just wake up one day and say, "Oh, I'm just gonna follow the Lord in everything I do, and I'm always gonna pray and ask the Lord." You know what? Joshua had to decide. He had the same. If you think about Joshua and Achan, they had the same potential. They went to the same, rabbis meeting. Okay, tabernacle. All right. They went to the same. They grew up in the same place. They grew up in the same nation. Now, yes, Joshua was a little older than Achan in this story. Okay, he's the only one. Remember, he's the only one who survived the 40 years. But in the essence, Achan and Joshua had the same chance, didn't they? Let me tell you something. Most of you here who've been raised in Blessed Hope, you have the same chance too. Okay, I graduated with three people in my class. We all had the same chance. We'd all listened to the same preaching. We'd all been to the same school. We'd heard the same music. Many of us had at least the same situation in our home, parents who came to church and brought us there. But you know what I find? I find some things that are different between Joshua and between Achan. And I'm going to show you those in just a second. Let's look at Achan real quick in Joshua 7:1, if you'll read that. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, skip down in the end, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So here's the mistake. Okay, we all know, this is kind of what Achan is known for, right? When you don't think of Achan, and let me just think of this. Do you know anything else about Achan? Okay, no, you don't. Do you know what he did as a teenager? Bible doesn't say. You know why I think it doesn't say? Didn't do anything for the Lord, okay? Do you see anything about him going into the tabernacle and staying before the Lord till he gets filled with the Holy Spirit? Nope, I don't see anything about that. Do you see a mention of Achan anywhere in the battles and in the service of the Lord and in talking about Moses? Nope, I don't ever find his name anywhere else. You know what I don't see about Achan? I see a person who sat around and he didn't do much. He didn't do much for the Lord, as far as I know. Now, I can't be the judge of that. The Bible doesn't might just not tell us. But I know he had the same chances, and yet we don't hear about him. Okay? And the same thing goes for us as church members. We all have the same chance this Sunday to be in our place. Some people will be heard about, some people won't. Okay, we have the same chance to go out knocking doors, and some people will bring folks into church and some won't. Okay, we have the same chance to do what things for the Lord, And yet, some people you hear about, some people you don't. Now, we're not supposed to be heard about. That shouldn't be our goal at all, okay? But I hear a lot about Joshua, and I don't hear a whole lot about Achan. Let's think about what else. You know, he had the same God. He had the same leader who was Moses. He saw this, many of the same miracles. He didn't see all the miracles Joshua did. I understand that. But you know what? He saw many. He saw enough, didn't he? And then look what happens to Achan. Let's just see what happens to him. Verse 20 is where we find his story. So Joshua goes through, basically, the sins happens. Of course, we know the story. They go into Ai, you know, they lose. Joshua realizes it's a problem with Israel. They've sinned. You know, the Lord gives him specific instructions. Hey, by the way, Joshua follows his instructions. Amen. All right. And then in verse 20, or 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give I... So that shows he's a little older, by the way. He did survive quite a few generations. He's the leader. My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Now, there's a challenge for Achan. If you read the rest of the story, he had been hiding something, and Joshua looked him in the face and said, quit hiding stuff, and tell me what's wrong. And look at verse 20. And Achan answered unto Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You know what Achan's basic sin was? The same sin that got Eve in the beginning. You notice that? Notice that verse. He said, I saw it, I coveted it, I took it, and I hid it. Didn't Eve do the same thing? She saw it, she coveted it, she ended up taking it, and what did she do after she sinned? She hid. Okay? Hey, the same sin's been going on since God created the world. Guess what we do when we sin? We see something, we take it, we covet it, and then we try to hide it. Okay? Guess what my son does when he gets into the pizza or the stuff at home, you know, and the food in the cabinet? He sees it, he wants it, he takes it, and then he tries to run away so mom doesn't find him. Okay? That's how it works. You know, we all sin just that same way. And Achan pretty much sums it up really well there, doesn't he? And young people, we can either be a Joshua or we can be an Achan. Here we find Achan doing those things. He's doing all of the classic things of sin. It basically, his life ends shorter than it should have just through disobedience. And we'll see that in just a second after I make these 3 points. Number one, the difference between Joshua and Achan is, number one, Joshua followed commandments of God. Achan did not. Okay? The commandment was, don't touch anything. Don't take anything. Destroy it all, burn it all. Guess what Joshua did? He did all of that, except for whatever Achan took. Achan was the one who broke the commandment. He didn't obey. And I don't know if that was true. Maybe that was just this one time, but I have a feeling that it was more than one thing for Achan. Okay, I have a feeling that since we don't hear about him a whole lot, he probably had, you know what? He probably was the guy who said, well, I know Moses wrote the law, but, you know, and God gave it to him and all this kind of stuff, but there's that one law that we can just, you know, we don't have to do that. Okay, and he's probably that guy. He was probably the guy that just said, well, I know we're supposed to pray this many times a day, and we're supposed to face this direction, and we're supposed to, you know, but I don't care about all that, you know, that's okay. We can just, as long as we pray, it's okay. I have a feeling that was Achan's attitude, don't you? And so let's not be an Achan. Here I find Joshua following God's commandment, Achan's didn't. Joshua was a good follower, Achan was not. Joshua was obedient, Achan was not. Joshua sought to cast out the accursed thing and save his people. Achan sought to keep in the accursed thing and hide it, and in the end, it ruins his family. It does. And so there's the difference. You know, there's some people who are looking to cast out, to get rid of. They're going through their own life. I think Joshua, the first person he probably asked, when they lost to Ai, you know who the first person he checked was? Himself. I didn't say that in the Greek, okay, or the Hebrew, all right? But I bet he did. I bet the first person Joshua looked to when they lost against Ai, probably the first person he looked to was him. And he probably looked at him and said, Lord, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Have I sinned? Did I cause this problem? And you know what? God immediately told him, no, you didn't. And through wise help of God, they find out that it was Achan. Okay, but Achan sought to hide it. All right, we find out that he puts it under his tent. Okay, in fact, he says... it was hidden in his tent and the silver under it, okay? And so he hides it under, I don't know where they hid it, okay? But they hid it. And so here we find the difference. One of them obeyed God, one of them didn't. Number two, both men affected their families and their future. And this is the one that hits me the most, okay? Achan, his family was killed for his sin. They must have been a part to it, by the way. I bet you mama and kids knew that he had done that, okay? Think about it. Tents are pretty big, even in these days. That's what they lived in. But in the end, if the dad had sinned like that, don't you think God had a reason for killing his family and all burning all his stuff? And I don't think, you know, I don't know, but I just kind of wrote this down. I can't let the wife and kids off the hook on this one. Remember that Babylonish garment? Remember that? You think that's really a man thing? Does a man walk into a burning city and say, ooh, shiny garment, I'm going to keep that? You know who I think that was for? His wife. I think it was for his wife. I think she probably she didn't do it, maybe she didn't take it, but I think she had that same spirit that he did, okay? I think she may have encouraged him in that. And you know what? Maybe she didn't want to sin against God, but maybe she was just too materialistic. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it was. But I know that his wife influenced him, and I know he took a Babylon garment. I don't know if it was a man's garment or a woman's garment. But you know what? I'd like to think that maybe, I wouldn't like to think it, but I wouldn't doubt it if maybe Mrs. Achan had that same desire as her husband did. What about the kids, you know? Well, you know, the kids didn't do it. They weren't part of it. But how many kids don't know all the secret hiding spots for presents in the house, you know? Amen. When it comes Christmas time, kids know where to find stuff. Amen. But you know what? I don't know. I don't know if that was the case or not, but I do know that they should have stood up for what was right. And even if it is dad, they should have stood up for what was right. And I think that maybe even God would have spared his life if he had taken it and then right away had felt bad for it, or his wife came up and said, honey, don't take that. Don't do that. Maybe if he had put it back, maybe God would have been fine with it. Maybe people wouldn't have died in Ai. I don't know the story, but I do know that his family should have stood up for what was right, whether or not he did. And they paid the price for it. Hey, listen, we can have a huge impact on our kids. Dads, we can have a huge impact on our kids. These two men have decided their fate. What else do we know about Joshua and his family? Well, I know that he stood up in front of all of Israel and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the good statement to make as a father and a husband and a leader in your home. But I think when he said that, I think his wife and his kids backed him up on that, by the way. Just like I think Achan and his family, they had the same thought, and I think they hid that and they helped their dad cover it up. I think Joshua's family helped him stand up for what was right. That's what I think. It says right here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, listen, his family supported him in what was right. Are we supporting our young people in what they're doing if this right? Hey, young people, are you supporting your dad if he's out visiting on a bus route? Are you supporting, or are you tearing him down? Or are you worried about he's not spending enough time with you or whatever else? Let's support our families and what's right and what the Lord says to do. I like our church with the bus routes. You know why? Because we got families working together on them. Let's keep that strong. Hey, kids, you can be the one person that stands up in your family for what's right. Some of you come from homes where mom and dad don't do what's right. You can still stand for what's right. You know what? I don't know if God would have spared some of those kids if they had stood for what was right. I don't know the story, and I couldn't be there, and I'm not God. But you know what? I know that today, in this day and age, there's some kids who come to our church who stand for what's right. And you know what? No matter what God does to their parents because of their life, if that kid continues to do what is right, then that kid can turn out right for the Lord. That young person can turn out right for the Lord. It happened to Rahab. You know, she was brought out of a wicked life. Luckily, she got her family in there with her. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? And so I know that young people can stand for what's right too. I know that wives and mothers can stand for what's right as well. Hey, ladies, you have a huge power over your husband's heart. And if he does something and you know about it and you're able to convince him, you know, your desires hurt and help him too, don't they? You know, like I said, I think Mrs. Achan kind of leaned Achan towards that stuff. And I think maybe he took that garment for her. I can't say for sure. But I would say that her attitude wasn't right with the Lord. And I say Joshua's wife supported him what he did, by the way. And so you can be the power behind your husband. But I think most of the burden rests on us fathers in the room and the leaders of our households. Hey, listen, what we do in our life can change our family's future. Did you see what happened to them? They stoned him. They stoned his family. And then they burned him. And then they burned all the stuff he had. And then they took a pile of stones and they set it on top of him. So every person who walked by that pile of stones says, that was Achan. And that was his family. And you know what? I bet there were some ladies in Israel who said, oh boy, that poor little Achan baby, he was so cute. And I watched him in the nursery. And he had such potential. And he had such promise. But because mom and dad wouldn't stand for right, that family is lost forever. How many times have we seen that in the bus ministry? Okay? And so, folks, we need to reach the dads. If we don't reach the dads, that family can't, whether we want to or not, can be destroyed forever because of something a dad does and something a leader of their home does. Now, I know I said, you know, the kids can stand for right, the wife can stand for right, but we got to reach these men. We got to reach these dads around here, and we as dads have to stay right. I don't want to be the one that God looks at and says, because of you, your family's not serving the Lord. And it might not hit me right now, but it might hit me when all my kids are grown up and none of them are serving God because of something I did in my life. And it might not have been something that I thought was a big deal, but if it's just something simple, maybe it's something I watch, maybe it's something I say, maybe it's a pattern that I do, maybe it's me not being consistent. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the Achan in my family. And so let me ask you tonight, which one are you? Joshua started right, and he finished right, by the way. He's the young person who graduated from Christian school, and he stayed serving the Lord. Hey, listen, we're bringing a lot of Joshuas this week. You know that? 45th anniversary, we're bringing a lot of Joshuas back here to church. You know why? Because they're still serving the Lord. And they're going to preach every night next week, and we're going to hear from some Joshuas. And you know what? They probably wouldn't see themselves that way, and they probably wouldn't get up and put themselves in that position, but I'm going to go ahead and do it for them. And I know that they are because they're still serving God. And they haven't quit on Him. And they're still leading their families in the right. And they still say that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you know what? With all those Joshuas we're bringing in, every one of them could stand up and say, I graduated high school with some Achans. I graduated high school with some people who are not here anymore. I used to go to church here where you are, and my friends aren't here anymore because they hid something. Or they went the wrong direction and it ruined their family. Which one are you? Are you going to start right and finish right? That's what I want to do. Or are you going to start right and have all the potential and then finish wrong like Achan? And you know what? There's some people in here who would say, I didn't start right. I started wicked. I started wrong. But you know what? You can finish right. Amen. I want to be a person who finishes right. I want to be a Josh and not an Achan, amen. Achan was definitely Achan by the time he was done. Was he saved? Was he right? You know, he wasn't right with the Lord. Did his family go to heaven? Was he saved? You know what? As far as I know, I think he is because he was raised in that. He knew better, but you know what? He made a mistake, and it ruined his family for it. So which one are we? Are we going to start right and finish right? That's what I want to do. I want to start right and I want to finish right. I want to be like Joshua. I don't want to be an Achan. I don't want to hide something. I don't want to ruin my family. And you know what? It might not be anything you think is big. Okay? I'm sure according to all that wealth that was in Jericho, Achan probably thought, oh, it's just a garment. You know, it's just some gold. I mean, I just need a little bit of money for the kids and the wife and that's it. But you know what? It ruined his family. And Joshua knew better, and he stayed faithful to the Lord. And so let's take those things. You know what? Go study the life of Joshua. Go look at the two of those things again. And I tell you why I came across this. I was doing a study on different people who are successful in the Bible. That's a good idea. Amen. And I came across in the Old Testament, there's a couple people that stand out. And guess who they usually are associated with? A type of Christ, by the way. And Christ is our ultimate goal of the Christian life, is to be like Jesus. And so he's the one we ought to study the most. But there's a lot of people in the Bible who acted about just like Jesus did in a lot of things. One of them is Joshua. One of them is Joseph. Study the life of Joseph. Do what he did if you want good success. I like Joshua 1:8, and I hope you go home and read it. In fact, I wrote it in the yearbook. We did a yearbook writing the other day for the school, and I wrote Joshua 1:8 down. It says, then thou shalt have good success at the end. And that's what I want in my life. I want success for me. I want for success for my family. But not like Achan had success. His success was based in this, and it brought him ruin. Joshua's success was based in that, and it brought him glory and peace for his family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night. Thank you so much for the testimony of Rahab and Joshua and Achan. And Lord, thank you for the work of this church going out and to the highways and hedges. And Lord, reaching young people at all potentials and all different walks of life, Lord, and bringing them here and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I pray tonight we as Christians would take inventory of our life and just say, who am I like? Am I like Achan or am I like Joshua? Am I listening to God's commandments or am I disobeying those? So Lord, I pray that we would just let it work on our hearts this week and take it with us and go our separate ways tonight, encouraged in the fact that, Lord, you can and will use us. In Jesus' name.